Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we are closing out our conversation around advanced prefab, our deep dive series, where we are having three episodes all tied together, and we're going to bring it home today with Lonnie Compton. Go back to the beginning, because beginning with the end in mind, working on the business, episode one was with Adam Ketterer, the co-founder and senior sales director at AEC Inspire. Then episode two with Naveen Kumar from NREL, a magical story around how they figured out how to build stuff on Mars with no humans to figure out back on Earth how we can put the humans with that technology and using all these critical forward-thinking tools. But today I'm so jazzed to be with Matt McMullen, our co-host on this deep dive series, and get to interview Lonnie Compton, who is the partner in the trenches to close out this deep dive series, who is works hand in hand with Adam Ketterer, where we talked about AEC Inspire around the top end of the business. Today we're going to get in the trenches. And I'm super excited to have Matt here because he was at Advanced Prefab and he was the one that connected all of these different moving parts together. And the main message is that we want to help the industry overcome the skilled labor shortage by connecting takeoff to prefab to the field into a continuous workflow, connecting the field to the office. And how is that going to benefit us is if we use our technology and expertise to help these contractors, we can find these benefits of prefab enablement. So prefab enablement is really something that, Matt, you and I have always talked about, is figuring out this digital build to the physical build and getting this connected kit of parts to come together. And they're really taking a deep dive where the riches are in the niches, where they're starting with electrical. But for me, it's all about building from this AEC Inspire team on the business to get into the trenches. Matt, honor to have you here. I'm super excited to listen in with the rest of the Art of Construction Master Facilitators and bring this thing forward with so much great knowledge that Lonnie's bringing to the table. Matt, what are your perspectives for today?
Well, hey, Devin, thanks for inviting me to join. You know, always a pleasure to take the wheel when you allow me. I know you still got the foot on the brake, sitting in the passenger side in case I get out of control. But yeah, excited to talk to Lonnie. It's one of those things where the folks that we talk to within our community and in our tribe, certain people have said that Lonnie's their hero. Made me a little jealous because I wanted him to be my hero, but it seems like other people got there first. But what I want to talk with Lonnie about today, and what we're going to chat about, is a thing called Electri International. Lonnie has a LinkedIn post coming out here soon where he talks about Electri International and the labor savings inside of 15% to 35% through prefabrication. I want to dive into that a little bit. He talks about MAP, which stands for Manufactured Assembly Provider Network. So really understand what is the MAP network. And then final thing is just, you know, bringing this home for our listeners. How does an electrical subcontractor connect with and utilize this MAP network that he's going to educate us on? All right, so we're going to bring Lonnie in here, my hero. I'm just going to claim that right at the beginning. And so we're going to jump right into the speed round here. We're going to get to know Lonnie a little bit. Lonnie, welcome to Art of Construction. What is your favorite beverage?
Well, thanks, Matt. And I'm super happy to be here. I'm excited about the call to or the conversation today. As far as my favorite beverage, I know that when you ask that question, there's always two parts to that question. What's your favorite regular beverage and what's the favorite adult beverage? It's kind of weird, but on a regular beverage, I don't know if I have really a favorite, but if I guess I did, it would be an Arnold Palmer. I drink those, you know, regularly. And but on the adult beverage, I do have a favorite, which is tequila, which I, so many people that I know in the industry have, I know that, and I have quite the collection on my shelves next to me. So it's always a good thing.
Well, you know, the thing is, I looked at your answer here, and you know, you being kind of what I call Ozarks adjacent. You know, that brings John Daly into mind. And so you could actually combine those two, little Arnold Palmer and a little tequila, you know, and just get it all going day and night at the same time. So, hey, what is the favorite place that you've traveled?
So I don't know if I've got a favorite place per se, but I probably enjoy doing cruises in the Caribbean most of all. I don't know if it's the Caribbean that I love so much or the fact that on a cruise ship, I don't have any technology that I can be connected to. So in fact, they started adding the ability to have cell service on, and I just refuse. I'm like, nope, not even gonna turn the phone on. But definitely we try to do one at least once a year. So definitely we enjoy that a great deal.
You know, the only time you really need technology is if you're coming up on an iceberg, but in the Caribbean, I think the chances of that are pretty slim. Can you give us one story for one of your cruises that really cements that as kind of a formative experience?
I think it's kind of funny. The stories that stand out the most are, we went on one cruise and the very first night there was a comedian, and the comedian was doing a number of things and he kept doing interaction with the audience. And he reached out to me and asked me my name, and I told him my name was Fred, and I was from Buffalo, which is a reference back to Beverly Hills Cop. But the funny part is that entire cruise for 7 days, everybody on the cruise called me Fred.
Well, that allowed you to be naughty, you know, and then still go back to being Lonnie, right? Well, hey, last question we always ask, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction?
So I'm one of those weird people. My favorite hobby is actually connected in many ways. But I found a makerspace at one point, and I just loved going to the makerspace because I learned so many different techniques of manufacturing and things of that nature that I actually have my own makerspace. It's a mini makerspace that I have. And but specifically in that, we have a full ceramic studio, and we do all sorts of stuff in ceramics. And one of the images I gave you guys is of something we call oinks, that we make these little ceramic pigs that, you know, I throw the bodies and stuff on the wheel, and then my wife adds the, you know, the embellishments, the ears and the nose and the eyes and stuff like that. So it's a really great hobby that we both really enjoy a lot.
Who's the person who adds the wings? Because that's what caught my eye. Because, you know, I'm like, hey, pigs can fly even in ceramic.
It's kind of a collaboration. I created the mold for the wings using a laser cutter. So I actually got a design for a wing, and then I use a laser cutter to create a mold for it. And then she actually, you know, presses the clay into the mold and then attaches them to the pigs. So.
Oh, excellent. Well, hey, I'm going to turn it over to Devin here. Jump in, and we're going to just dive into the meat of the conversation.
Awesome. Yeah, great lead in. We're going to have as much fun as possible here. Lonnie, what is your story that led you to being the co-founder and senior director of product strategy and customer success at AEC Inspire?
It's kind of an interesting tale because I started my career off in architecture, and I've always had this challenge where if I get bored, bad things start happening in my brain. So I don't like boredom, which doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. But architecture was very intriguing to me. But after I got in, I realized that the process of doing architecture is the same. The buildings are different, but the process is always the same. So then I ventured into focusing on technology, and that was a big revolution, you know, evolution for me. To really grasp and say, okay, technology changes all the time. At the point whenever I was really focused on technology, I evolved a little bit and went to work for a design firm in Las Vegas. And it was really intriguing because one of the main projects I worked on there was the Cosmopolitan Casino Resort. And, you know, Vegas is an interesting place. They build faster there than just about anywhere. One of the projects I worked on was a project that was about $1 billion, and it was from start to finish less than 30 months. So it's kind of hard to spend $1 billion in 30 months on a project like that. But the Cosmopolitan was interesting because it was so big, and literally at around 50% construction, we gutted the building and redesigned it. And that was unbelievable to do that. But then there's all sorts of stuff on a casino everything is custom, and everything gets manufactured custom. And, you know, it's amazing from that. But in particular, there was a scenario where there's a whole series of light fixtures above the casino floor. And I call them the donut fixtures. There's hundreds of them up there. And they're like 12-foot diameters, to 16 to 20 foot diameter, and they house everything from cameras to lights to all sorts of different things in them. And we had them in, and we had three or four of them manufactured, and the contractor went to install it, and it took them weeks to get those just handful installed. And we needed all of them, all hundreds of them installed within a few months. And based on how long it took to do those first ones, it was going to be a better than a year to do the install. And that was the first time that I really saw the design team, the manufacturer, and the contractor come together and figure out a way to design the actual element so that it was easy to install and easy to manufacture and still got the design. So if you ever go into the Cosmopolitan Casino Resort and go into the casino floor and you look up and you see all of these rigged round fixtures, that was the catalyst that brought me to understanding how powerful prefab is and how quickly that can change the industry. And since then, that's been my focus and direction.
You know, the casino story is interesting where I lived in LA for and worked in LA for 6 years. And so we were always, you know, doing like in the movie Swingers, you know, where you'd roll in the middle of the night to go to casinos, right? When we were in our late 20s, early 30s. And I got to know some people who worked on casinos. So a gentleman I worked with, his dad was one of the big designers of the casinos. I think he did Caesars. And then knew another guy who was at Eye in the Sky, which you talked about, cameras, you know, which is absolutely crucial because of the gambling. And then also knew a guy who was a pit boss and heard like incredible stories about what happened, you know, with people card counting and stuff like that. But let me jump to AEC Inspire. You know, we had Adam on earlier, and Adam said, you got to talk to Lonnie because we have different roles within AEC Inspire. Can you talk about Adam's role and your role within AEC Inspire and how you guys as co-founders have split up responsibilities and strengths and traits?
For sure. So there's really, there's three co-founders, or actually four co-founders counting our CEO. And really three of us really divided the overall processes up. And so the other one is Abhishek Kumar, and he's basically in charge of development. So the development team reports to him and he manages the development side. My role is really two part. I do the industry and product strategy. So I give, you know, direction on, you know, the strategy we're going to approach and attack the industry, and also on the product development side, the strategy around that. And then Adam is really critical in facing the customers, getting that message out, getting an understanding where people are at, and really focusing that conversation from a customer facing standpoint. And then I also do the customer success side. So once somebody becomes, you know, an active customer for AC Inspire, then I work with the team that is actually focused on making sure that they stay incredibly happy, that their answers are always questioned, you know, their questions are always answered, and that they really, we try to inspire. I hate to use the word inspire because it sounds such a self-serving thing since our name is AC Inspire, but we want to just inspire people to really love and really work with the software in a way that is enhancing their work and the way that they do their job every day.
So Lonnie, if people don't listen to Adam's podcast, which they're totally missing out, can you just give the 30-second commercial of, he really did a great job talking through in a deep dive of what AEC Inspire is, but can you kind of just talk about from your point of view, and then we're going to kind of talk in the trenches where Matt is teeing it up, where Adam is kind of the sales guy working on the business. You're the one kind of leading the customer through that journey. And I love that that's how we started this thing out, because so many tech platforms, the salespeople don't, you know, one hand's not talking to the other hand. And you guys have really, and that's why Art of Construction is honored to align with you all, because you guys are really, what Adam is saying, you're trying to really execute, instead of a lot of construction technologies don't really talk to each other when you get inside of the role. So I really want to take a moment and just say, what is AEC Inspire?
Yeah, so AEC Inspire, we're technology that we're really working to enable the workflow and the process from the takeoff effort all the way through to the field. And so we really want to bring technology right to the contractor's hands. And I often use a conversation of the point of sale. So right whenever they need it, they have it and they can make the decision they need to make as part of the process. And so specifically, the technology is focused on takeoff to initially. So being able to do your takeoff really rapidly and doing it from a 2D perspective, but then tie that directly to the conversation of prefab. So we have a configurator in AC Inspire that allows you to configure your prefab right on the spot, right when you're doing your takeoff. And then that leads directly to the process of ordering it, and then the process of getting it to the field are all tied together. So it really enhances that overall process.
You know, thanks, Devin, for diving into that and giving sort of an overview or asking the question so Lonnie could give the overview. You know, Lonnie, you mentioned POS and, you know, point of sales, and I was glad you clarified that because, you know, POS also stands for another thing, and I'll use the Mexican word caca. And so
most of the MFers you think of in construction, not the master facilitators.
Exactly. Well, when I read the LinkedIn draft that you sent to us, Lonnie, and thanks for doing that, started to go through there, and you're talking about a thing called the MAP network. And so to me, it seemed incredibly important. And it seems like this whole ecosystem that you guys are trying to build. Can you talk about what is the MAP network? What does it stand for? And how is it structured?
Absolutely. So the MAP network stands for Manufactured Assembly Provider. And the reason that we really focus on that concept is the term prefab has been so widely used in the industry. People use the term prefab for all kinds of stuff. And we really wanted to distinguish that prefab is evolving. And so the manufacturer assembly provider is really understanding that we're kind of taking a step forward and more productizing the prefab concept and turning it into something that is a manufactured assembly. And then the provider network with it is something that we knew was super critical for this overall effort. And I really feel like when I, as part of my career, I was with a company called Faith Technologies, which is a large electrical contractor, and they had significant prefab. They were doing prefab at, you know, pretty sizable scale. And one of their realizations is because they were trying to get the prefab done so quickly to be able to deliver to the job, because the time frame for delivery was always so tight, that they had overbuilt their prefab shop that could produce way more than what their actual jobs needed. And it was a realization that they could provide more prefab for other companies as well. And one of the factors that led to this conversation about building the MAP network was 80% of the electrical contractors in the country don't have a prefab shop and don't have access to prefab. So the MAP network is really about marrying those two realities together so that the people that don't have it can get access to it, but get access to prefab from people who use it every day. So prefab built by contractors for contractors. And there's such a critical path item, because when you're getting into the prefab space or you're doing assemblies, there's knowledge that you don't have, that if you're working with another contractor that's done it themselves, that knowledge gets transferred over with you, which is so critical in this effort.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when you were just talking about that, whenever you do a startup, right, you have to make this decision right at the beginning of, is it open source or is it proprietary? And, you know, Devin and I always talk about kit of parts. And so that's kind of what you were talking about with this kit of parts. And so do you see, you know, moving forward, the MAP network, how much proprietary does it have in it? How much kit of parts, how much open source does it have within it? Because like you talked about, 80% of the folks don't have a shop. And so are they buying into the MAP network system, or how is that thing structured and how does it work?
So it's a pretty interesting process. As I really start working in this space, one of the realizations is that construction in general has been driven to be snowflake thinking all the time. So if you talk to, you know, different prefab shops, they initially were like, oh, you know, every project is unique, every assembly is unique, and that sort of thing. And it's really interesting because when you look at it and you look at what is getting prefabbed from shop to shop, it's very consistent. It's very much the same thing. So one of the things that is super important whenever you're talking about a prefab shop that's being part of the MAP network is that they have evolved their prefab to be able to start making it more consumable. And we do that through a couple of different processes, but our primary tool is using a configurator to help them understand, you know, what are the options that you have in your prefab and what options can be selected. And then that creates that particular assembly. But the other factor of that, which is super important, is when that decision can be made in the process and making it that, you know, creating that, you know, the word productization is a weird word because I don't think it's a real word anyways, but, you know, it's something that we talk about, but making it, you know, them viewing the productization and making those available, they can make that decision earlier in the process and they can make that for multiple projects as opposed to just being single snowflakes every single time. And it's just a critical part of that particular process.
Well, I want to bring Devin in here because, you know, Devin could talk about this. The factories that we've gone to and folks we've talked to, you know, everybody has their secret sauce. And so, Devin, maybe you could talk about what we've seen when we've gone into factories where people think they have the secret sauce.
Yeah, and I'd give a shout out to Gary Fleischer, who we did multiple podcasts with, where he was kind of the one that teed that up when we were starting the journey of going to all these factories and said, it's every time you go through this big NDA and sign all this stuff and you got to be credible to go into their factory. And then you say, after they've talked through it all, you say, so when do I tell them this is what every factory I see goes through, to where they're pretty much just building it inside and not much is different. And their secret sauce is pretty low hanging fruit to move this thing forward. And that's what this MAP network, these funky words of like, that's really the problem, is we have this identity crisis of productization to snowflakes, to all these different things of just figuring out, we've settled on what we call system built construction. And AOC is on this quest to tie these master facilitators together to say, okay, how do we actually do this? How do we take this process and do it better, map it out, create this network of integrated kit of parts. And that really is, the industry has to come together and say, that's all our secret sauce of communicating and working together, and then figuring out how to map that out. And that's what I've seen with AEC Inspire, is you guys have really dove into the riches and the niches by the three words of MEP, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing, where everyone says those subcontractors are the low-hanging fruit, and so much energy is put into that. You guys have fully dove into the electrical part to then map it out from there. But I raise my hand and say, day to day, I own and operate a window and door company where we don't manufacture. We take a kit of parts to understand how we put windows and doors into rough openings. There's so many people like that, the insulation, the wall assemblies, all of these master facilitators have to come together. But the thing I always say is you got to meet the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are. And that's the part I think there's so many people out to solve a problem instead of they're out to create. They don't even know what the problem is they're out to solve. They're like making these solutions instead of solving the problem. And that's what the big thing I saw in my aha moment was, oh, wait, you're meeting the subcontractors where they are, meaning their 2D set of plans to then build back into the source of truth. That's kind of where I see is the secret sauce of, we have to get everybody to kind of open up their networks. And that's what the Art of Construction is trying to do.
Yeah, well said. And so since we're making up words, you know, productization and systemification is what I want to ask you, Lonnie, is AEC's Inspire's role. Because like Devin said, I think what's powerful is that you guys are creating like kind of a workflow product system process that people can dial into, you know, electrical subcontractors right now. But, you know, when we talked to Adam, he said, you know, hey, we want to turn our attention to, you know, mechanical and other things as well. So what is AEC's Inspire's role in the MAP network, and how are you guys connected in creating this?
So today we're really a facilitator in many ways, where we're helping the MAP network be built, making those quote suppliers available. And then we're also providing through AC Inspire the understanding of how those can be used by people who don't necessarily have that prefab knowledge, and bringing that directly together. And one of the things that we've done is inside of AC Inspire, we actually have built a configurator where you can import the actual assemblies directly from the map network folks into AC Inspire, and you can configure those assemblies right in the process of doing your takeoff. So right whenever you're saying, okay, this is going to be a duplex outlet in this wall, you can configure that assembly right smack at the point whenever you're saying, I need this, and you know, what parts do I need for that? Instead of doing all the individual parts, you can actually configure the assembly right then and there, which then translates into when you send that information to the map network provider, it is in their form based off of their build sheets, based off of how they're going to do it, and they can turn that right back around. If I was to say that our goal with that is to be able to say, hey, you can configure that assembly today and have that stuff on your job site within, you know, 5 days, as opposed to, you know, thinking it's going to be weeks or months before you're going to get those assemblies, trying to make sure that it is so clean and so seamless that it's just one right to the other. And it's like you have your own shop, but you're actually working with somewhere with a completely different company, but it's just part of your workflow every day.
Well, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here, and then I'm going to wrap it all back together with a question. So the tangent is, you know, as an architect, you have to have certain credits, learning units for accessibility and to comply with the ADA, American with Disabilities Act. And so when the Department of Justice, who is responsible for monitoring that particular law that was signed into legislation, the question became, where do I go for help and assistance to make sure that I comply? And so they have these TAC centers, technical assistance centers, and these are regional, and the entire United States is marked up into regions. And you would call that specific technical assistance center for where your project is located. So I bring that up where there's kind of a system that has been created that people can tap into. Because when you were talking about all this, I thought, hey, this is a great idea. And how, if I'm an electrical subcontractor or electrical subcontracting firm, like how do I connect to the MAP network, whether my project is in California or my project is in the East Coast or Florida or wherever, right? So can you talk about how the MAP network works? Is it national, regional, local? And how does AEC Inspire function in that sort of ecosystem to get people connected to the assistance and the prefabrication they need for their project in various parts of the country?
Sure. So I think the idea of the MAP network, our MAP network providers are capable of providing stuff nationally all over the United States. Obviously, the further away you are from them, you know, a bit more shipping comes into play. But our intent with that MAP network is to build that out to where most regions are going to have a MAP provider, you know, right within their region. In fact, working with NECA, you know, one of the general ideas with NECA is to have a MAP network provider in each one of NECA's regions, so they can, you know, they have one locally and they work together. But it's facilitating that team of the contractors that don't have prefab to those that can and that can provide that prefab. And AC Inspire looks at it from two different perspectives. One, we actually help companies become part of the MAP network. Part of our consulting efforts and things of that nature, innovation services really helps them do that. But that also allows us to really get into the shops and certify their capabilities and be able to understand that, hey, they can meet the scale, they can meet these things. These are the assemblies they're going to be offering. This is how consumable they are. And then on the other side, with the people who need those items, we embed that directly into the software so that it's very easy for them to pick what they need and what they want right at the time that they need and want it. And then there's a secondary aspect where we're providing the information via our website to where if somebody wants to go and look at, you know, items that the MAP network is providing and they don't necessarily go right through AC Inspire, we have the ability for them to contact us and then we'll connect them together with those suppliers as well. So we're really facilitating that communication. We hope that will, you know, our intent with that is to grow that in the future. and to, you know, bring it, you know, I'd love for someday for that map network to be a marketplace kind of environment to where, you know, people, you know, you can go to it and say, hey, this is what I need and set that up. And then that just comes straight to you. But it's in the grand scheme of things, using another word, it's democratizing the whole process of how you get items to your job site and how you facilitate that process.
So democratizing is a word. So that's good. You know, we're moving back to the English language again. But hey, so, you know, we're not sponsored by the AIA and we're not learning unit providers and we don't have to be totally agnostic. Like, we can dive in. And so my question for you is, like, you talked about map, you talked about resources, you talked about capabilities, you talked about networking, you talked about advocating. I'm a subcontractor. I go, man, this sounds great. Where do we go to dial into the map network? Because people are like, dude, you have danced all around this thing, mm-hmm. and you promised all this stuff, and you've talked about present, you talked about future. Where do we go to see what you do currently and where you're headed?
So right on the AC Inspire website. So we have AC Inspire, and then literally right on the homepage is access to the, you know, map assemblies. And on that page, we show all the assemblies that all the map providers provide and how they, what they look like. And then right in on that page is the ability to connect, you know, with us to be able to get that connection made. If you have the software, if you have AC Inspire, it's built directly into AC Inspire. So as you're using AC Inspire, the map network is already built directly in.
Yeah. And one thing I'd love to add there above that, you got the AC Inspire map network, but above that you have the Art of Construction umbrella. And it's kind of like having these different insurance policies, but the master facilitators working together. And that's where I'm honored to use this kindling to build. I think back of recent podcasts that were just released, like Nathan Woods, where we have a whole bunch of stuff where we're doing an AEC roundup at the AOC. And I'm saying jokingly, all these acronyms of what the heck are you talking about, right? And what I mean by that is getting the Art of Construction, the AOC master facilitators like Nathan Wood, who runs the CPC, the Construction Progress Coalition, or all of these different people from the AEC Summit with Greg Mattis of Trimble, Hamza of DisruptTech and Haskell, Josh Bone, who we just had a podcast with, who is running the Electri International, right? And so, and then you have Charlie Dunn, the storyteller from DPR. And I could go on and on of all these different Art of Construction master facilitators like Matt and Lonnie. But the whole idea is like figuring out the who and the what to move projects forward. And that's what we're really pushing with the Art of Construction master facilitators, to say, come in there so that you can learn how the map network can fit into your network. And that's what the whole thing we're all trying to figure out with these different technologies, right?
So I want to throw out one more acronym, which is HMDIC. You know, I'm getting confused. Look, how much does it cost? So that, you know, how does AEC Inspire, you know, get subsidized? How do you make your money when you're working with folks? Because people are going to ask that question. Hey, sounds like a great service.
Come on, Matt. They just have to give it to you. This is just free. Like, just make my job easier, right?
Wait, what? No, Lonnie's a totally humanitarian dude. But
just like the podcast, just like the master facilitator, just like everything is like, no, just do it all for me to make me make more money on my project. Me, 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 me. And I'm like, enough of the people talking about what's in it for me, the W, you know, that whole acronym of how can we, and I'm constantly in every meeting of construction, I'm like, can you stop saying you for a minute and talk about we?
Well, that's the thing, you know, I'm going to bring up Warren Gates. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, you know, like the Oracle of Omaha, is you got to do well in order to do good, right? You got to make money so that you can then give it away. Because I did hear advocacy in what Lonnie was talking about, right? I mean, there's a greater good for the industry, but somebody got to pay for it, right? Like somebody got to pay for the trees so we can all hug them, you know? So Lonnie, can you talk about like kind of your pricing structure and how it works, just in generalities? So in case somebody wants to jump on your website and give you guys a shout.
Yeah. So yeah, we have two different, so AC Inspire has two different subscription models. The first one I'm going to talk about is Enterprise, which is really a team model. And in that arena, right now that pricing starts at, $2,499 a year per person, per user. And then we also have one that's Personal Pro, which is significantly lower at $20 per month per project. And the idea of both of those is if some organizations that are larger have an entire team that they're working on a project together, and so that's where Enterprise comes in. And then the Personal Pro is really for kind of that smaller entity where it's like, I have a project and I want to use prefab on it and I want to get started on it right away. And so with Personal Pro, you can literally go in, start your subscription, put a credit card in, start doing your takeoff directly in the product and start configuring your prefab and then get that into the map network, get the request into map networking and have that stuff move forward all right in that one place. So it's super fast to be able to get there. Enterprise is also very quick. It's just, it's usually a little bit bigger task of getting a team of people trained and getting them all up to speed and that sort of thing. But that's the entire process. So that those two pieces, the Personal Pro, you know, is a low price point on a per project basis, and the Enterprise is unlimited projects on more of a team basis.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful for like, you know, a latte a week. You know, you guys are able to enter your ecosystem. And right. Then, you know, see value in it and then step up and go to the next level if that's what's necessary and that's what the project calls for.
Yep. And as far as the different ways that we, different revenue streams that we have, I think it's important to point that out. I know a lot of people shy away from those conversations, but I think it's important because I think of that every time I look at any business that I'm looking at engaging with. It's like, all right, so where's the money coming from? Because they've got to be making money somewhere. So part of the map network conversation, whenever you're a contractor that has a prefab shop and you want to enter into this conversation of providing third-party prefab, the idea of creating a sales force and marketing and all of these other factors are just, that's just not in the contractor's wheelhouse. They just don't want to do that. They don't really have the expertise to do that. So what AC Inspire provides is essentially all of those items for them so that they don't, you know, they don't have to spend that energy and that money on those items. And whenever we do that, we obviously get a small transaction fee as we go through that process. So the revenue, there's different revenue streams that we're doing to be able to make that happen. But the key is making sure that the end contractor gets the value of prefab directly to them with as little disruption to that value as possible. And that's a key part of the process.
Yeah. So what I heard is a little bit of Jerry Maguire, you know, help us help you. Mm-hmm. And which is always a powerful place to be. So I'm going to bring Devin back in here so we can kind of take his home here and jump into the questions that we always ask at the end. So Devin, I throw the ball over the court to you.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. And Lonnie, this kindling, there's so many things to weave together to where you guys have niched in of really a lot of the demos and the stuff that Adam showed us is like really building out a great platform for the electrical community, but then now taking those lessons learned and bringing them into the rest of the master facilitators. And I can't wait for those conversations and what we have in store. But from this kindling, the question we always ask is, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I always love these questions. I get asked like the magic wand question all the time. So I always love these questions. But for me, it's always hard because my brain goes crazy with them. But I think in this particular arena, the crystal ball in my mind is something that we haven't talked about much today, which is some of the specifics about how our technology works, like AI and machine learning. And one of the factors that I think is really important is the skilled labor shortage isn't just a conversation of, you know, people that swing hammers and you know, twist screwdrivers and stuff. There's a knowledge there that people that have been doing it for a very long time, they've gained incredible knowledge to understand what it is they're doing. And as the skilled labor shortage keeps impacting the industry, we're losing so much of that knowledge. And so with AI and machine learning in particular, I think that is the really crystal ball moment of being able to capture that knowledge through machine learning and then being able to utilize that through AI to be able to say, hey, you know, we have that knowledge built into the system so that if somebody doesn't have that knowledge, it'll be there to help that process move forward.
Yeah, that's a powerful thing you just shared, Lonnie. We didn't touch much on it, but I know from the architecture design programming side, one of the things that we're really looking at is AI and how you can become an expert within a certain field or product type or even building type to be able to tap into research papers and things like that. So that way you can make up for the deficit of designers, deep technical experts, deep technical consultant experts leaving the industry. So a powerful statement you made.
Yeah, and as we work to begin with the end in mind, when Lonnie shared the story at the beginning of like $1 billion and it has to be done this fast, but down to the riches and the niches to say this chandelier that's moving too slow and it needs to move fast and you have to intricate all these different parts into lighting and the eye in the sky and all these things to say, how do you map out that network? But at the end of the day, it's garbage in, garbage out. So we're in this spot where this machines can do so much stuff, but it's us humans actually mapping that out to be able to move that tribal knowledge forward. And that's really, to me, I couldn't agree more, Lonnie, but we still have to map that out instead of just hit a button and expect our garbage that we're putting in is perfect coming out, because that's just not how it works. And that's what we're all trying to figure out, and taking the lifelong learners like Lonnie and Matt that have had a life of putting the AEC together on learning by doing on projects, how do we move that thing forward to build better buildings? And that's the part that I'm just, it's an honor for me to be able to lead the microphone with so many inspirational leaders that have learned by doing. And that's what we talk about in the master facilitators. We are not the typical MFers that you think of in construction when you're outside looking in to say, let's just throw $1 billion to a technology so that we can just automate these buildings. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. But as we close this thing out, the one thing I want to leave you with, audience, is to say, what is one thing, Lonnie, that you want to leave our builders and affiliates in the trenches, just like you learn by doing every day? What is that one thing you want to leave them with to think about to go out and crush it and grow their business?
Well, I mean, the key element is really saying, embrace the conversation of prefab. But I like to do that with a little bit of humor in the aspect of, you know, embrace the and integrate your assemblies as if they're the Lego blocks of building. If you look, you know, if you correlate that and say, hey, you've got all these different Lego blocks, and we can build all kinds of things with them. That's really what assemblies are about. And then on top of that, consider modular units as the Lego Death Star. You know, think of it as not necessarily you have to have an entire modular building, but I have a modular unit. So one of our map providers does modular electrical rooms that can be fit into any building, any design. And I think that's kind of one of the key things, but really starting to not think about projects from just individual materials and then what you got to do in the field to put those materials together, but thinking about it as assemblies that you're going to configure, and then that's going to speed up that process of building. But really focusing on that integration of assemblies and thinking of them as that Lego block environment.
Such gold. You know, Matt, any final words?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, he brought up a few references like the Lego Death Star. And we at the Art of Construction always talk about architectural Jenga, you know, which is just kind of taking volumetric modular and stacking it together and then hoping that it doesn't fall down like the game of Jenga. But the other thing too that occurred to me is just a game of operation. And so, you know, you're putting stuff with inside the Jenga and the Lego Death Star, and you're trying to like delicately put these prefab pieces in there and not touch the sides and get the patient's nose to light up red like in the game operation. And so, Lonnie, it's great having you on the podcast. A big thank you to Adam for sending us your way to talk to one of his co-founders.
Absolutely. So happy to be here.
This makes me think of Charlie Dunn, who was the MC with Jeff Sample of the Contact Crew, where we exchanged podcasts. And we led this all up into episode 350 with Charlie Dunn, which he introduced at the beginning of this conference with Nathan called LSP. And LSP, Lego Serious Play. And I was kind of like, this seems a little hokey. And then I met Charlie Dunn and watched the transformation of two phases. And I'm not going to, you got to go back and listen to episode 350, where Charlie and I talk about how I was a kid in a candy store watching version one of Lego Serious Play, where everybody just had to watch one person build the building. And then they did some prefab in section two with the Legos, and watching the psychology of how construction works. And that is the secret sauce right now, is Tribe. Get out of your own way and say you don't know what you don't know. And we're all jaded by what we think we know. And we have to figure out how to put that stuff together and all come together and collaborate. And the more I think about LSP, we always start by something. How do we relate to it? You know, in prefab, it's the car built in the driveway. Matt, we talked about all of the NDAs and all the secret sauce in these factories. Okay, so it starts with the Lego, the brick, the whatever it is. And then you have to stop and the bullshitting. And that's the serious part. We have to get serious for a minute at the front end before the part that was such an aha moment for me, version one to version two. Version two, we are doers in construction. And everybody was chomping at the bit where they forced them to do more and more planning, more and more planning. And everyone's like, they couldn't help it. They were prefabbing. They were starting to put Legos together because we have to go, go, go in construction. But Tribe, I tell you this. We always say the last thing about the art of construction is the handshake. Don't forget why we do this. It is fun playing with these buildings with Lonnie on his chandeliers on the front end to say, aha, I can actually help be something serious about this cosmopolitan when you walk in and see these chandeliers. So don't forget about the play, but reverse engineer, be serious, and find that kit of parts that puts it all together. And I'll leave it, I keep saying it over and over again because it's such hits me between, don't forget to meet the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are. And that's what Lonnie and the team at AEC Inspire is doing. Tell me what you're doing today. Let's collaborate and have as much fun as possible, do it better. Lonnie, it's an honor to be associated with you. I can't wait for this kindling of what it creates to actually, when we said 350 podcast plus ago, Matt and I and other master facilitators are here to say, how do we learn by doing as lifelong learners and break down these silos from the AECO and stop the snowflakes and create system-built construction? Matt, did that resonate to you?
Yeah, and I want to wrap it back to the beginning when I talked about, I'm going to do a little Marvel Comics hero worship thing here. For Lonnie, is one of the things I think that I've been struck by on the AOC podcast is what I'll call benevolent capitalism. And Lonnie definitely, and AEC Inspire definitely has that in their wheelhouse, which is, you know, moving the entire AEC platform and industry forward while they're providing a service that makes money. And to me, that is the beauty of folks that we bring on the AOC podcast, is that they're folks who are willing to do what it takes in the trenches to improve the system and make money so that they can reinvest that back into the industry. So I also want to echo what you said.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's not a moment in time. Technically, this podcast is a global and timeless fireside chat. But join the handoffs. Come join Lonnie and Adam, Matt and I, and the rest of the master facilitators in the community. Check us out. Get involved. Lonnie and Adam will be there. We have these follow-ups from the podcast of figuring out how do we take these couple of hours we all listen to Adam and Lonnie, understanding their story, to put it together. That's what we got to do more of in construction, putting those who and what together, so that we can figure out the why. Crush it out there, Tribe.